of the town of Reading to proceed with this project.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, we have a motion on
Mr.
the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak.
Sorry, Mr.
Public
Phillips.
Input.
Mr. Phillips, the last time you spoke to this committee, you insulted a member of this committee.
That's your perception.
I am also
Mine
running
too.
This committee right now, Mr. Phillips. And until I see an apology, I am not going to take comment from you because I think that it was such a severe breach of protocol and courtesy that I would expect an apology to the former member of this board prior to speaking in front of this committee.
Mr. Dahl,
thank you.
Don't be denied my civic rights.
And you can take that to the district attorney,
your
Mr. Phillips.
To address the factual information I presented.
Mr. Phillips.
And you do not have the right to
Mr.
exempt
Phillips.
Any citizen from input in a public open meeting.
Mr.
I'm
Phillips.
I'm telling you that, and I'm saying
that's fine.
As a committee, you're going to open yourself up to litigation. If you deny
if
me my
civic
rights,
any more comments,
rights,
Mr. Phillips, I will have the police
hurt?
Remove you.
Am I hurt? Are you denying me my right to speak at a public meeting?
I have told you, until you apologize, I am.
There
you
will
can
be
take
no
that,
apology
fine.
For exercising my civic rights.
We have a motion in front of
rights.
The board. We have a motion in front of the board that's been made and seconded. Is there any other discussion from the board? Mrs. Mandel.
You'll hear from my attorney, Mr. Dahl.
Thank you.
Yes, you will first.
That's fine.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just want some I want to make a clarification on the towns that are still waiting for their votes in their communities. Those towns, most of them, as far as I know, have already done their design work. So they are basically waiting for the final, for a vote to proceed with the construction part of the project. Otherwise, there'd be no way for them to possibly get on the list by June 1. We in the town of Reading have only done schematics. We haven't done the design work. That's why this new advisory tells you not to spend money on design work or capital campaigns, votes, elections. If you haven't done so, because we as a town have not done the final design work. That's the difference between why we're not on the list most likely and the other towns. And also, I'd just like clarification from the superintendent. At the meetings when the architects were here for the interviews, numerous of them said that they had talked to Christine Lynch and the preliminary schematic designs had not been submitted by Flansburgh. And they recommended that Flansburgh get those in as soon as possible. My question is, that was mid-March. What did the state, SBA, evaluate in order to not put us on the list? Did they not have the correct documents in SBA? Did Flansburgh not submit all the information that they were supposed to? If you could address that.
Sure. State used the seven criteria. Project is obsolete. It's number six. And nothing to do with, I can tell you Danvers has a project just passed town meeting. I can tell you that North Andover hasn't even gone to the selectmen yet, let alone town meeting and a vote on the project. These projects were solely evaluated on whether it was safety, enrollment, obsolete, desegregation, and that. And that's what I heard from our legislators. As far as the submittal goes, I heard nobody say, except one firm, that we should get it in by March 1st. That date has been arbitrarily removed by the state, and it wasn't until last week that the building committee formally approved that document, and I'm still waiting for Flansburgh, and I hope to have it by tomorrow or early next week, the document that we will submit to SBA. Had nothing to do with it. It's strictly what kind of project were you moving forward? DSEG, life and safety, structurally inept, enrollment, desegregation, obsolete, etc. Or future enrollment issues, I should say.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
In support of your recent ruling, I would suggest to Mr. Phillips that when he talks to his attorney, that he refer him to Chapter 272, Section 40 of the Massachusetts General Laws, which reads, disturbance of school or public meeting. Whoever willfully interrupts or disturbs a school or other assembly of people met for a lawful purpose shall be punished by imprisonment of not more than 1 month or by a fine of not more than $50, provided, however, that whoever within 1 year after being twice convicted of a violation of this section again violates the provisions of this section shall be punished by imprisonment of 1 month, and sentence imposing such imprisonment shall not be suspended. The title of that is Crimes Against Chastity, Morally, Decency, and Good Order, sir. Refer that to your lawyer.
Mr. Hines, you have the floor.
Mr. Dahl, the school committee is obviously free to conduct this in any way they please. However, I'd suggest that you suspend your discussion on the current motion before you and have some discussion on what just occurred. We as public servants are frequently confronted with people whose opinions we disagree with. But to not allow an individual to speak at a public meeting and for the rest, five of the members of the committee to let that action go uncontested, I think potentially subjects all of the committee to litigation. I think Mr. Carpenter's citing of the law, while it may be a perfectly appropriate section of the law, if I were called as a witness, could not sustain that the person did anything to disrupt the meeting until he was provoked into doing so. So I'd urge you to hear the opinion that you may disagree with, but at least let it be heard.
Mr. Hines, the reason I did that is at the final meeting of a previous school committee member, he was accused not only of conflict of interest, but in the comments made during the presentation by the former speaker, he was accused of actual criminal activities. And to that, I cannot tolerate that kind of question to the board, that kind of comment. It was totally out of place, and I think and I believe that the former school committee person in question deserves an apology. That's a disruption of the meeting, and I think that in this committee we've expected more courtesy than that. And I don't know how else to get that message across, Mr. Hines, that I expect decency, I expect courtesy. Accusations, they don't need to be made here. And that's why I'm requesting an apology to that member. Go ahead, Mr. Phillips. This addresses that issue. And please make it brief. And that's an apology forthcoming,
Mr. Dahl. You misrepresent completely what I said at that meeting, and for you to say that I accused him of criminal activity is something for which I will seek redress one way or the other, because you misrepresented what I had to say, and I said nothing conclusively or factually. I said something to support my reason for wanting Mr. Toomey to recuse himself. And as I told you at that last conversation that we had,
favoritism as a result of
favorable treatment.
Thank you.
And I stand by that without retraction. But to say I accuse him of criminal activity, it shows poor judgment on your part. And for a person to have a bias and a lack of objectivity is not to say that they're guilty of criminal activity. I'm talking about human foibles and frailties, as were exhibited by your lack of objectivity, Mr. Dahl, in your overreaction to my remarks when you went ahead and, because of your relationship with Mr. Toomey, which you cited in that meeting, went ahead and showed how easy it is for a person to lose objectivity. And that's all I meant to say by my remarks about Mr. Toomey and how easy it is for a person to have... That is what I know what my intentions were, Mr. Dahl, and I'll tell you, I think it was your lack of objectivity and your lack of objectivity that did not allow you to see the intention of what I had to say. And as I told you at our last meeting, another town official said that they thought it was right, that he should have recused himself. I'm not alone in that opinion.
That's not the issue, Mr. Phelps. I'll make this clear one more time, and then we'll drop this issue entirely. It wasn't that you discussed a need to recuse himself. It was that in your presentation, you said that because of that, Flansburgh had received favorable treatment. That is an accusation. And that is the reason I was upset, and I still am.
You know, what the result of his actions may have been, are one thing, but for me to get into motive is something I've always been smart enough and careful enough to never do, and I never did do that, I'm sure. And I'll say publicly, frankly, Mr. Dahl, and I say this not tit for tat, I am deserving of a public apology for you to say that I accused him of criminal activity, because that was never the intent, nor was it what the substance of my remarks. You're reading into it due to your lack of objectivity. And I don't want to be contentious or be disruptive of these meetings, but no. I do resent that I was not allowed to participate on this issue.
We have a motion in front of the board. Mr. Russo.
I would like to address this issue if I could.
We're not on this issue. We are on the issue of the motion in front of us. Yeah. You may not address that issue.
Well, to make that official, I move the question.
This is a continuation here.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to take the moving the question. If we have substantive issues on the...
Which alders can be... John's elected member. He should be able to give his piece.
I don't want to talk to a specific motion, but I'll wait till after the motion and let you speak.
Yes. Okay. Let's get this business out of the way, John. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm
welcome to the committee, guys.
I strongly suggest you ask the recording secretary to read back the motion, please.
Please. So requested.
Instruct the superintendent to transmit the letter to Design Partners, dated April 11, 2003, and instruct the architect to proceed with the preparation of the submittal package and request that the topic of whether to continue or not continue be placed on the May 10th agenda so we can have an informed discussion on where to go next. And also, when the superintendent gets sufficient information that the project is not reimbursable, then he notify the architect forthwith and notify the board.
And would it be wise at this point to amend that? I think Mr. Hines had a reasonable comment about including a scope of the work so we can keep track on how that money is being spent.
That's a friendly amendment. Thank you, George.
Okay, any other discussion on that? All those in favor of the motion is made, please signify by raising your right hand. All opposed? And that passes 5-1. Mr. Russo did want to claim the floor. Go ahead.
Yes. This is in regard to Mr. Carpenter's comment. Tonight I was hoping for a quiet dinner. Obviously, we started off on the wrong track, but I've known John Carpenter for 20 years, and we've had many civil discussions, so I will continue that, and I have no problem with that. Hopefully, he understands the comments I'm about to make are taken the same way. If we applied that rule of law that you just mentioned, I think we can jail probably 20% of the people in the United States to speak before boards. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Mr. Phillips was out of place. He simply asked, made some statements, and that was it. And I think we should be calmer in terms of handling people who have disagreeable comments or points of views. And the committee has improved itself quite a bit since I've been here, but I went through a difficult time period, and I don't like to go back to that again, and I hope to remind people that we're here as public servants, and there will be questions about us that will be made on and on and on.